This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another butter-topped episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the overpriced Rich Early. Rich, how are you doing this afternoon?
Not what I expected, given our topic, but okay.
well, if we're talking about summer movies,
we're talking about butter topping.
Really, movies are expensive, man.
Ugh. And they are. Even the movies themselves. I was going to say the concessions are really what breaks you, but you can buy a Blu-ray or whatever it is you choose for the same price as your movie ticket, and then you've just got it. You know?
Yeah, so, and I mean, a bunch of bonus content. You don't get the giant screen unless you're one of those people that has an amazing media room,
right?
Which I am not.
I mean, mine's okay, but it's just sort of like laying around my downstairs living room right now,
yeah.
So it needs to be better. But no, and that's true. And so, well, anyway, welcome back to another Doxcast, and we're here to talk about this summer's movies. We're going to talk everything from Avengers up through Ant-Man and speculate about things to come. And we record episodes usually once a month and put them up every Monday, but we are short an episode. So Josh and I are here at lunch to talk to you while you guys eat whatever it is you're eating. And if you're listening to this on Monday, I mean, I guess you could be eating then as well.
Well, yeah, you're allowed to eat anytime you listen to the podcast. And also, Ian chimed in and said that you're not overpriced, you're a collector's item. So
thanks, Ian.
That was
collect
much,
all one.
Much kinder, yeah.
So that's the way it normally works. And if you subscribe to the podcast, you can get it on iTunes or through our website also. Or you can tune in occasionally when we pop up and do these live feeds. So we'll have a big block coming up next week. We're going to review San Diego Comic-Con announcements, talk about the status of what's going on with Marvel's fresh start up to this point, and a few other surprises. We've got a couple of guests in mind, but they're all at San Diego, and they're not going to want to be with us on our random podcast next Tuesday night.
So, tired of from waiting in lines and doing panels and whatever else. Yep, that
probably
going to
be a lot of Josh, Brad, Darren, and I talking next Tuesday night.
Which you know, you need a little bit of that every so often.
So back to the movies.
Yes,
I mean, we see this a lot in comics. The LA Times finally just did an article the other day that was talking about how comic sales are lagging behind the success of the pop culture IPs of the same characters. So Marvel movies and all these TV shows from DC, Marvel, and everybody else are doing huge business and making lots of money. They're all over the place, yet comic sales are lagging behind. And I think of the movie theaters in the exact same way. To me, it's not about the properties. You know, it's not about the content. Mm-hmm. We have great creators. We have great comics on the shelves. It's that all forms of the traditional way that we would digest media, that's what's all breaking down right now. Breaking down is not even fair. That's what's transforming right now. You know?
Right.
That's what goes on for me. And I don't know about you, but that's really what I think is happening more than – it's not that people don't like the movies. It's the competition and the way they can get the same thing that never used to be there.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we've talked about the comics versus the movies and things like that a few times on the podcast before. And I think that the movies are made to be more digestible. You know, it's not that the comics are inaccessible, although we've talked about the general perception of inaccessibility in comics. But, you know, people are used to going to the movies, especially in the summer. You get the big blockbusters, lots of action. And with a lot of these movies, especially the Marvel ones, you know, we actually have some coherent movies with real character development. You know, there's still lots of explosions and lots of great action, but it's proved a point that you don't have to have, you know, Avatar. You don't have to have the lamest plot line with the cheapest dialogue and characters that nobody cares about because they're so one-dimensional and still have a good action movie. But That's wow. I'm getting off on all sorts of different tangents.
Well, no, what you're talking
things,
about
but...
though is that when you go to a Marvel movie, you feel like you're coming home to your friends. You know,
yeah.
You feel like you're going to see what your friends have been doing and where they're at, and you're invested in what happens next. And honestly, that is what the backbone of comics universes used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Comics, I think, are really trapped in, and we're going to talk about movies, but comics are really trapped in this same cycle of they know that they're struggling with relevancy, so they're trying to pull out everything they can think of. So you get all these new number ones and people complain about them, but the fact is that if you were reading those comics at a high level, if we were getting the kind of readership we need, we wouldn't get these number one relaunches all the time, you know?
Right.
So imagine that you were an industry, so you're at home right now and you're watching this on your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do that 20 years ago. So that is a big difference in how you digest your media.
Right.
And so now here you are, you're one of those industries that's now competing with the fact you can watch this random content from random place X on your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to needing to go down to buy their $4 comic book or to go to their $15 movie. It's just a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes things really difficult for those guys. But as a consumer, I mean, it's better than ever. You have more power. You can get exactly what you want, exactly
yeah.
how you want, exactly where you want it, exactly when you want it. You don't have to play the game of, no, you have to go to this random movie theater at midnight on this day in order for the premiere to happen. You know, it's just not like that anymore. So anyway.
Yeah.
Any last thought, or should we talk about movies?
I think we can go ahead and get into it. We could probably
woo movies.
Go. Keep going one direction, but yeah, I put on the description that we're talking about 2018 summer movies, so
yeah.
We should probably get into that.
Well, and summer usually kicks off with that first big blockbuster around Free Comic Book Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They changed things up a little bit this year. They moved Avengers Infinity War up 1 week, so it released at the end of April. But, I mean, generally that's the beginning
right.
of the big movie season, so
yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk spoilers on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen Avengers Infinity War by now, that's not our fault. So.
It's practically out on Blu-ray and DVD, and at
yeah.
that point, it's fair game, I think.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, fair warning, we're going to tell you that half the universe dies. Oh, we just did. Oops. Infinity War, Josh, I mean.
Yes.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I had a great time. It was everything that I wanted it to be. You know, and it's interesting because that one has really made me start to think about, you know, but we're also now several Avengers movies in, so we can see patterns emerging and what it means for the big crossover event movies versus the singular titles. So, you know, there are certain things like there's going to be one big bad guy and then a whole bunch of cannon fodder because you have to be able to have all of the heroes doing something. So, you know, when in Avengers 1 we had Loki and then all the Chitauri and then, you know, they had like the kind of foot soldier guys and the Leviathans. So there were different tiers. So we needed to have different levels of hero, you know, we needed Thor and Hulk to go and take down most of the Leviathans while Cap was defending the people against the foot soldiers on the ground, you know, with Black Widow and Hawkeye, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that's continued here. We have a group of heroes facing off against Thanos while some of his generals and a whole bunch of cannon fodder are attacking Wakanda to get the other stone. But I just think that's kind of interesting that we're seeing that come up, and you can even see it in like the 30 minutes of the end of Justice League I watched has kind of a similar thing where there's one big bad guy and he has a bunch of cannon fodder. So you have to split up and, you know, do all this stuff. Getting back to the movie itself.
But that brings up a good contrast between Justice League and Avengers. One of the problems with Justice League is there's the main bad guy and then there are the parademons.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, there's nothing else. Like, they really broke that here. Yeah, he's got his army of demons because we need the cannon fodder, right?
Right? Yep.
But he's got the Black Order, so there's this insert level where they don't have to fight Thanos, but they also aren't just trapped just only fighting a minion then. They are fighting unique characters with their own abilities and stuff. And, I mean, the Black Order weren't developed great, but let's face
it. They didn't need to be.
They didn't need to be. And for everything that needed to happen in this movie, who cares?
Right. So, right.
And I'm a guy. I'm mostly tired of the big storyline stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I saw this movie and I really liked this movie. And so what I realized, I'm just tired of bad movies more than I'm tired of, you know, like
yeah.
Age of Ultron. When you look at the whole scope of things, it's not a great movie. It's just,
yeah,
it isn't.
I agree.
The one that most people don't disagree with me on, I'm not a big fan of Civil War. And I know mm-hmm. that I'm kind of off in my own little corner on that, but mm-hmm. it's very similar to me. Unlike this movie like develops Thanos especially, right?
Yeah.
In Civil War, I just felt there was no character development. There was nothing. I didn't feel the stakes because I didn't feel much of a payoff. And even here, there really is no payoff because, yeah, we had this big battle and, yeah, they were split. But, oh, no, Thanos showed up. So we just kind of brush it all under the rug, basically.
Right. So. Well, you know, and it's just the first part. So the whole resolution is yep. coming still. But yeah, no, overall, I thought they did a great job with handling as many characters as they did.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that a lot of characters had a good chance to, you know, shine, either whether it was just a couple of good lines or, you know, their particular arc, these characters going off this way to do this. And, you know, and it felt kind of comic booky in that regard. Like, not to say that the other movies don't, because they draw heavily from the storylines from various arcs and things like that. But this one, you know, how characters came into it and where these guys went and, you know, facing off here, it's like it seemed to feel a little bit more like that, where, you know, and like you said with this, it's you've got the epic scope, which means there isn't necessarily a lot of character development. Some characters do change slightly throughout the film, but mostly we're there to see the characters we have watched develop,
yeah,
deal with this situation, and I think they handled it well.
Yeah, you know, for me, there's usually two things. I want a movie, even a movie that's part of a bigger franchise or an ongoing thing, I still want the individual movie I'm watching to have a beginning, middle, and an end, you know?
Yep.
This movie does that, so check mark, good. usually I want it to have – the other thing is I want it to have character arcs, and I want to care about – I want to be invested in a storyline for my major characters. It doesn't really have that, but it's the payoff movie. Like, we've waited mm-hmm. since Iron Man 1 in 2008 for this movie,
yep.
So I think – this is a movie that I'm not going to worry about that check mark as much.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, what they were building here was Thanos' story.
Right.
You know, more than anything. Although, have you – I got to – so I've been – this is what I want to talk about.
Okay.
Do you realize how dumb Thanos' plan is at yeah. the end of the day? So, because this well, is a big problem, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So recently, Marvel's the head of the film division – I don't even know how to say his name. Fiji, Fedge, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's Fiji.
Fiji, maybe.
I think so.
So he was asked if Thanos' snap killed half of all life in the universe, not just people or,
right.
or living, you know, but plants and animals.
And things.
And he
yeah.
said yes. But then it's like, well, wait a second.
But if we have a shortage of food.
Yep. The point was
getting rid of half the food.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. You got rid of half the people. You got rid of half the food. You know, like what. Well, you didn't do anything, you know, like, yeah. I guess there's more space and they can grow stuff, but,
yeah.
you know, like, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So. At the end of the day, I think it doesn't have to.
No.
You know, it's a grand plan. It's an yeah. evil villain who's maybe not doing it for evil purposes, but clearly there's something wrong with him, because if you have the power to destroy half of life, mm-hmm. wouldn't you have the power to just, like, create more of the resources we might need?
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's – so there are definitely flaws if you want to dig into it like that. And you don't have to dig very far.
No, and maybe he's – I mean, you could argue, you know, he's angry, he's twisted by the things that have happened to him, and this is – he's just, you know, focused on –
right.
this. Plus, there's an element of I'm the savior. I'm the god of the
yeah.
universe. And so this is a very not very benevolent way, but definitely a way for him to lord it over everybody and,
right.
and very megalomaniacal. So.
Now, one question I have for you in regards to Infinity War. What did you think about Red Skull in there?
shoehorned to some degree, but at the same time, it's nice to see them picking up on a random lost thread.
It was so.
Usually, I'm up on spoilers and things like that.
Yeah.
The nice thing about that is I had no idea.
I didn't see it coming.
That at all, and so I liked it. You know, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if this necessarily makes sense or if it's necessary, but I thought it was cool because I didn't see it coming. I had no idea they were bringing him back, and he was, you know, in that particular place and role. So yeah, I
felt a lot of emotion over the whole sequence with Thanos and Gamora in that place, you know.
And that
all worked really well for me, and I felt like Thanos genuinely was mourning a sacrifice. And what's cool about that is we want our characters to earn something or to have to pay for something.
Yeah.
That's what real character development is. And so that was a way – I mean, I don't want to bond with Thanos, you know, but that was a really cool scene.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought that was very good.
It made it personal. It made it real. Like, the idea of killing half the life in the universe is just so abstract, right?
Yeah.
That was something that brought us down – and grounded us and made the movie personal.
Yeah, and I think it was a nice contrast to what is one of my few gripes with the movie is that they really stretched out any moment where the heroes had to regretfully try to take a life or decide to save a life in regards to the bigger picture. Because I think, you know, that was kind of the big thing. It's like Thanos willing to give up his personal, you know, the one person he loves and the things that he personally loves for what he thinks is the greater good. And then you have the heroes who are not willing to give up that life. And that's all evidence with Strange being like, I will sacrifice you for the stone. And then he turns around. It's like, no, Tony, you have to live. And, you know. And there were several of those moments where, like, Star-Lord is like, I know you told me to shoot you, but I can't. And it, like, really stretches out for minutes and minutes and minutes. And then it's, oh, that's right, he has the Reality Stone, and I gave him all the time in the world to, you know, foil my attempt to stop him from getting that other stone. And then, you know, with Vision and Scarlet Witch, it's like, oh, I don't want to destroy it. And it's like, oh, just, we get it, just condense it a little bit, okay? It's yes, you can feel remorse and the weight of your decision, but it doesn't have to be that long for us to understand the gravity of the situation.
Well, the key moment you're talking about is Star-Lord and Thanos when, you know, Star-Lord realizes Gamora's dead, right? And instead of completing the plan, which would defeat Thanos and he'd get his revenge on him, he loses his temper instead. You know?
Right.
And I mean, I think I know they want us to understand that from a character point of view, and we all can. We can all sympathize with that. At the same time, I don't know. I mean, that's a controversial scene to me. So,
well, I'm fine with the scene, but mostly because I 100% believe that that's what Strange saw. He knows that needed to happen, or that was going to happen regardless. That's not the thing. It's not like they were going to be successful. Like, if they somehow managed to get the glove off of his hand, what would have happened next? You know, would they have been able to stop him then, or would it, you know? So everyone, I know it's been like a big internet meme, and people are just like, Star-Lord, you're the worst. And it's like, no, he's not, because everything is still happening according to the plan. It's just we don't know the plan yet.
I've only seen the movie once, and I don't remember the scene as well as I should, but it did strike me while watching it as, you know, like a little too obviously written. This is the moment that he, you know, realizes what's happened, and this is – it just was very convenient from a writing standpoint in an otherwise smarter movie is really, I guess, what I would say about it.
So. Well, I mean, the thing is, if Strange knew that was going to happen, Star-Lord wasn't effectively doing much at the moment, you know. Why wouldn't he have knocked him out earlier? You know,
like,
so
once
that's,
he's seen the 14 million things and he's seen all these futures, he could easily just take Star-Lord out of the scene. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't think – like, most of the writing in this movie is really strong. It's not that I don't understand Star-Lord's reaction. It's none of that. It's that really there were other ways the writers could have handled it. And so
yeah.
the way they handled it makes it feel like they chose to poorly put it in to have the highest point of drama that they could rather than to do something different. I don't know. That's all. I don't want to make that some big, I don't have a super strong feeling, but I do think that that's the case with that.
Yeah.
So.
No, but I think that too. And then I think, well, a lot of people fell for it because clearly they have a strong reaction to it. And so, you know,
yep.
But yeah, no, there probably was another way they could have handled that, or maybe it's, I don't know.
I do think a lot of people, many people walked out of the theater thinking about Doctor Strange and that whole sequence, and some people didn't. And I think it was very clear, you know, he's not saving Tony by giving up the Time Stone. He knows that, you know, he's seen all the outcomes. The one where they win is the one where Thanos gets all the gems. And so once Strange realized that, then there was no more reason for him to fight. So.
Yeah. Yep. So does that segue into our speculation on what's coming in part two?
I'd say have you seen Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I have not seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp.
That's okay. If there are spoilers, I intend to see it. You know, I don't know why. I'm just not as excited for that one.
It's really good.
I've heard it's really fun.
Did you like the first one?
And that's another thing. I liked the first one, but I didn't like it as much as a lot of other people did.
And I think I fall in that boat. Like, the first one was fine. I saw it once in the theater. I ended up rewatching it with Jen because she hasn't seen most of them, and we were going to go to the sequel. And
sure.
I was like, well, we better watch this. Which then led down this whole rabbit hole of, well, crap. Like, she hasn't seen Civil War, so she's not going to understand why he's in jail. But she can't see Civil War without seeing Winter Soldier. And so then I'm like, well, we don't have time to do all that. So
well,
like,
played, Marvel.
Yeah. But I was like, okay, short version. He goes to jail for helping Cap, and he's probably on house arrest afterwards. And that's all you really need
right.
to know, you know. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. It's a good movie. The plot wise, it's sort of like three different little short stories sort of overlapped on each other. There isn't there's a goal. They're trying to rescue Janet from the quantum realm. That's the main objective. A couple things get in their way. Not in most cases specifically to stop them from doing that, just complications. People who want the technology that Hank Pym has, things like that. And so they've got to deal with sort of like all those things. And then there's this very sort of humorous, like, you know, Scott Lang's on house arrest, so he has to somehow have this adventure while not letting S.H.I.E.L.D. know that he's, you know, not just in his apartment anymore, like a sitcom bit, you know.
Sure.
But for Ant-Man, for Ant-Man, I think it works very well, and he was quite good. So that's sort of there isn't a huge connection to Infinity War. The big thing is that, you know, the only thing really it's in the post-credit scene. I don't know if you've heard about that or not.
I assumed it was there, but I haven't heard about it.
So the movie itself has nothing to do with Infinity War until that post-credit scene. And so Scott Lang has gone back into what they call the quantum realm, which is the microverse, I guess, for all intents and purposes.
Right.
They've rescued Janet, but now another character in the movie actually needs these particles from the quantum realm for healing. And so they go down, they're going to apparently go there occasionally to get those things and help this character out. And so he's there. And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm ready to come out. And no one responds. He's like, well, you know, I'm ready. Let's go. And then we cut to the outside and there's just black dust. And so, you know, Hank Pym, Janet, they've all apparently been snapped away by Thanos. And Scott at the end is left trapped in the quantum realm.
So, interesting.
I think that's, The reason I want to bring that up is because I think that's the tie into the Avengers 4 speculation. Is there's this, we've known for a while. There's been all this speculation the quantum realm is key, you know, to however they're going to get out of this,
right?
In Avengers 4, so
because I'm jumping ahead maybe a little bit here, but going into the speculation there, because we're thinking that something like all the souls that were snapped away are in the Soul Stone or something, right? I mean, that's a possibility. That's something.
Definitely one of the speculations, rather than they're necessarily dead, that they're in whatever, because we see like that young Gamora at the end and things like that. So,
yeah. So maybe there's some connection there. He's able to access Soul World. I don't know.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of rumors out there. I mean, the thing, like when we walked out of the theater, I mean, first of all, Spider-Man and Black Panther aren't dead, boys and girls. Like,
yeah.
Spoiler, like,
right.
A, they're filming a new Spider-Man movie, like, as we speak.
Yeah.
And B, Black Panther is, like, the biggest thing that ever happened to anybody ever. And
unless
so,
it's, like, a really big ruse. It's like, no, we weren't filming Spider-Man. It was actually Venom 2.
Yeah. but, yeah, you know, so those things, I mean, are pretty obvious. Although, that was something that struck me about the movie. For a movie where I know the outcome because I read the comic 20 years ago, you know, or 25 years ago or whatever. So I knew Thanos would snap away half the universe, and I knew they would get better at some point, you know.
Yeah.
So I figured that would be the cliffhanger. I will say this. They did an excellent job of selling it.
Oh, absolutely.
In this movie, though. Even for such a very thin veil of suspension of disbelief, Peter Parker's coming back. You know, like, I get that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they left me feeling pretty dark and did it. It's just, well, I don't know what they did exactly right with the filming or the weight of that, but they really nailed it.
I think for me, it was the fact that they ended on that.
Mm.
Like, there wasn't, like, a meeting of the remaining people afterwards, like, okay, what can we do next? They didn't, like, formulate the plan. There was no hope. It was just, they're gone.
Yep.
And the characters' reactions to the people disappearing and those who disappeared was very good. And it felt genuine and sincere because we, the audience, know that, yes, they're going to fix things to some degree at least.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are not truly gone. But the characters don't know that.
Yep.
You know, they haven't read the comics. This is the first time it's happening in their world. And I think they did a really good job of projecting that. And like I said, just the fact that that's where it ended, you know.
And I think there's there've been supposed plot leaks. And there are a lot of things we kind of know in the spoiler world. So I don't really want to talk about a lot of that. Like,
the only one
I'll bring up, because this is pretty well known, and talked about all over the place, in the filming, we know that there were sets and costumes from the original Battle of New York, from Avengers 1. And so there appears to be, that would suggest there's a time travel element to the movie.
Right.
So it might be that they're going to use, this is very speculative, that the quantum realm perhaps is not just spatial, but also temporal maybe.
Oh.
And so maybe Tony and company figure out, like, we interacted with all these stones. So if we had succeeded in acquiring them rather than not, and that could be a way that they just change history. So
sure.
That Thanos just doesn't get the gems or the stones. So I don't really know. My suspicion after walking out of the movie, if you look who survived.
Yeah.
I mean, the original six Avengers lived.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. And so I thought, you know, the Guardians one, what did they do? They held a stone together. And they survived and defeated what's-his-face.
Ronan,
you know. So I thought, okay, maybe each of these classic Avengers will die by, you know, okay, we can unite the stones, but we each have to use one. It's too much for any one person.
Right.
And they'll sacrifice themselves to get those actors out of there and then launch the next phase of the Marvel Universe. I mean, something like that still seems to me like what's going to happen. So,
yeah, I think I even posted something on Facebook to the effect of hey, so there's six Infinity Stones and six original Avengers that didn't die.
Yep.
You know, I'm right with you on that. And that would be a good send-off for those characters.
Yep. And the devil's in the details. There are lots of rumors out there that would kind of not really fit with this idea. But, you know, I'm assuming, you know, they're going to try to foil Thanos somehow, and Thanos is going to try to stop them from foiling him. You know,
that's a way out there theory.
Yeah, and if it's traveling around through the history of the 18 Marvel Universe movies and trying to find the stones and keep them, you know, I mean, Star-Lord just doesn't give his away, you know, just stuff like that, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I think That's a movie I wish was here already because I really liked the first one. And,
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting, especially with the addition of Captain Marvel and her movie coming up and then seeing how she ties into the whole proceedings.
Well, that's another thing is Captain Marvel confuses me. I know that her movie's set in the 1980s. I'm excited that Phil Coulson is in it. I think that's really cool. And Samuel L. Jackson, stuff like that. So, okay, we're going to get this sort of like unknown chapter from the Marvel cinematic past. Mm-hmm. The Skrulls are, I think, the villain.
That's what I've heard.
So, which actually has led to a lot of people speculating things like maybe some of the current Avengers are Skrulls or
all us. Only the Skrulls died with the snap.
And... Yeah. So, like various things, various theories are floating out there. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, like, something has to happen to her, though, because when Loki first attacks and Samuel L. Jackson's got this Avengers initiative plan, I mean, she's got to be out of the picture because why wouldn't he have called her otherwise, you know?
Right.
That's a little...
my theory is that something at the end of the movie is going to call her off into, like, deep space and she's going off to, you know... Because there's the Kree are involved and all that stuff, of course. And so chances are she'll be off that way.
But he's got a button to just call her in his pocket. And so...
Right.
It's a little odd, and I'll be interested to see how they deal with it, because I just think back to Avengers 1, and I think, I mean, he thought the world was going to end, you know, and he was pulling out all the stops to stop that. So I'm curious why it would be that wasn't the world is going to end enough that he would then, you know, pull out his big gun versus this is, you know, I don't know. But
I've heard speculation, you know, something to the effect of that Strange during his, you know, meditation on the 14,000 possibilities went and, you know, talked to Fury in the past. Like that'll be a post-credit sequence or something where he's like, hey, this is coming up. Don't call her until then or something. You know?
There could be any number of things. I mean, sometimes when you make 20 movies, something falls through the cracks. That's also possible.
And I'm sure they'd never expect some of that. So. Yeah, they never expected to make that movie at that point, you know. And so,
It's traditionally the problem with retconning in a character that just wasn't there before.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a problem they'll have. It's really exciting that it looks like Disney and Fox are going to be united, but... It is. How do you explain mutants never having been mentioned in the MCU? You
know, unless something happens with their time travel escapades to stop Thanos that brings the mutants into it.
I don't think they can yet, though. Like,
I don't think so either.
Because they don't. I mean, that deal isn't. I mean, they already filmed the movie, and the deal isn't done. And so they, you know, still to the day, right? So they just can't.
I mean, so they could always wipe the slate and start new, but...
Yep, that's possible. We would be, I think as fans, we'd be very disappointed, though, if the 18 movies we watched up until that point were invalidated by the latest one. That's never been a good idea when, you know, that's like everybody was dreaming in Newhart, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's or I get out of the shower and it was a dream. I mean, that's a technique that is not, that would be very ill-advised.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree completely, but...
That reminds me of Game of Thrones, where there's some Bran Stark theories about that too, where I think, oh my God, I hope they don't do this. But, I mean, I don't know. There you go. If you guys have theories or comments or anything you'd like to add in, please do.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on to the other major franchise in the universe known as Star Wars. I'd like to say quick that I saw Incredibles 2 and Jurassic World 2 as well. I liked one of them.
Can I guess which one? Yeah.
Yeah. One of them was a cohesive movie with the beginning, middle, and end and good characters. The other one was not.
Jurassic World 2.
Yeah, the other one was Jurassic World 2,
I have not seen either of those yet, unfortunately, but I would like to see Incredibles 2 at least.
The weird thing about Jurassic World 2 is, like, remember Jurassic Park, like, Lost Kingdom? Like, they already did this story where the island was closed and apocalyptic and we had to get dinosaurs off of it or whatever, you know, or people were there to, the military was there to steal dinosaurs, the military, like.
Right, yeah.
It's the same, I mean, we already did that.
Well, and so it's just bizarre. What happened in Jurassic World, they tampered with the dino DNA and they created a super dino, and oh no, it's killing everyone. What do they do in this one? Did they tamper with dino DNA and create a super dino, Rich? Did
yes,
that happen?
They did.
Wow. It's like I'm watching Iron Man 2.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone else got the arc reactor technology.
Yep.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's
anyway.
True. Iron Man 2 is not very good.
It's
you
not.
Know, the only time I've ever watched that movie was at the midnight release that we, you know, that we famously.
Oh, yeah, because they got it at the
Fargo Theater. Yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah, Brian and I entertained the crowd for 2 hours. I watched the movie. I've never seen it since.
Yeah.
So, and I remember at the time I remember liking it. I just know through thinking about it over time that I don't like it, and I just don't need to see it again. I don't think so.
No, I was not a fan.
All right, we're gonna switch gears.
Yes,
so,
yes, let's do that.
But like Solo came out. I mean, it's been a hell of a year for Star Wars. Like, let's just put it on the table, right?
Yeah.
Like, it starts with Last Jedi coming out in December, and just this like epic clash of fans that has happened, and they're very strong opinions on both sides. We're not going into that.
We That's already had our last Jedi discussion.
We did, right?
Go back and listen to it if you want to.
Yep, but it has left the movie franchise in a very difficult spot.
Like, right.
There's no
it is
two
a
ways
dark
about
time
that.
For the movie franchise.
Yep, yep. I don't think it's unfair to say half the fans are on one side and half are on the other, that has, you know, no matter what you think of what side you're on, that's not the point. The point is, if I run Disney, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, and I think releasing Solo was a lot like releasing Ant-Man and the Wasp, where
sure.
I have this big, heavy movie, and now I'm going to do something fun. And the intent behind that, I think, made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, and we can talk about that, but, like, should we just talk about the movie first?
Yeah, I don't know if you and I have even talked about
our
opinions of it.
Hit me, Josh.
All right. I really liked it. I was not excited about it. You know, it's like, yeah, remember the prequels when they showed us how everything started and we went, oh, he made 3PO? Huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, Boba Fett is just a clone of...
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really looking forward to it. I don't know that I was even planning to see it in the theater. And then I heard some good things about it, and I had an opportunity to go catch it on Cheap Night, and I did, and I had a lot of fun. It was a blast. It felt Star Wars-y without feeling like it was trying to, inform too much of or any of the main Star Wars plot line. That was one of the big concerns for me was like, oh, what are they going to throw in here other than here's Han, here's how he met Chewie, here's how he got the Falcon, etc. It's like, what are they going to do? Did he, like, accidentally do this on this planet and then that's what happened to Dr. Evazan's face or, you know, whatever. There were concerns. I think the only real problem I had with the movie was when he's going to leave and they're like, what's your name? He's Han. And he's like, who are your people? I don't have people. Han Solo.
Yeah.
I don't need the dumb guy to name him. His name, it's Han Solo.
It's just his name. He doesn't need an origin for it.
In a movie where we have Skywalkers, we can have Solos.
Yep.
It's not some imperial bureaucrat getting poetic. That aside,
yep.
Really fun. I mean, like right from the get-go, the whole thing with what's her face, and he's
Mother
uses
of
the
Dragons.
Rock. Yeah, he uses the rock as the thermal detonator. And you made a clicking noise with your mouth. It's like I was in 100%. I was just having fun, and it seems like it's made so that there can be a sequel to it, which I hope there isn't. But it's like I kind of want to know more of what happens with Kira. I thought she was interesting . But I don't want there to be a Solo 2.
What? And I don't. But I would say I don't know that there needs to be, though. I think it's more I think it's more they're dropping pieces into place for the pre-New Hope universe. You know, like
right.
It's like there's things you can play with. Darth Maul appearing is there for the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. Like,
right.
Like I,
right.
You know, like he's not there for Solo 2. He's there for the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, right? Or things like that. I mean, I think like they're just sort of setting breadcrumbs out there that can be played around with and establish a continuity,
right?
And a bit of a universe leading up to A New Hope.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense, and And yeah, and I'm perfectly fine. Like I said, I don't think there needs to be a Solo 2 or anything. But the fact that there were characters in that movie that I was intrigued enough by that I would like to know more about them, possibly, you know, maybe it'd be better as a comic series or a novel or something, expanded universe. I thought that spoke a lot to the quality of the movie that mm-hmm. me, someone who was very much indifferent at best about it, came out actually enjoying it enough to want some more.
I think, one, it was a I mean, it's an interesting movie because I agree with you. I enjoyed the movie. I'm someone who has really railed on other movies for dumb plot elements or dumb things mm-hmm. that happen. And this is a really good example. I'd like to just take a second to explain the difference between, I think for a lot of us, like, you know, if you kind of win me over in some way, you know, if you make me kind of like your characters or just something about you, I tend to become very forgiving to the dumb things that happen in the movie. And I feel like Solo's like that. I feel like it's an enjoyable movie. If you start thinking about the movie too much, there's a lot of dumb stuff in it, you know.
Yeah.
But don't do that. It's just not a movie that's worth doing that because it's mm-hmm. a well-intentioned, fun movie just sort of set in the Star Wars universe, and that's enough. And especially coming off of Jedi, I think they needed to do something like this that most people could just kind of get behind. You know?
Yeah, a little bit of a palate cleanser.
But yeah, you know, I'll give you an example, just a minor thing I don't understand. The woman who's part of Woody's crew who blows herself up to blow up the bridge or whatever.
Like, yeah.
Why did she blow up the bridge? They didn't need to blow up the bridge. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah, at that point,
they had the thing on the thing already. There was no reason to blow up the bridge. I mean, maybe she killed those drones, but if so, it was a pretty lame sacrificial death if that was all she was accomplishing.
And, yeah.
So, like, it's just stuff like that that is really – but a place where the movie really won me over, the Kessel Run sequence – I'm not a huge mm-hmm. fan of it, but it's the fact that after he does it, he just tells this random guy, man, you know what I just did? I made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I loved that. Like, he's full of adrenaline. He's just done this ridiculous thing. And they actually show us that the things that people do have an effect on them after they've done them.
Mm-hmm.
And Han's just, like, jazzed, right? And
oh,
so
yeah.
he's just going to tell somebody, you know? Like, I thought that little moment was just an awesome example of I mean, I just loved it. I thought that was really cool.
So. Yeah. No, it was fun. One of the things about the movie I think that really stuck with me or that won me over was the fact that it really felt like playing the old Star Wars D6 role-playing game with my buddies.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just there are some of those things like when L3 starts the droid revolution mm-hmm. on Kessel and everything like that. It's like these fun little side things that – you know, not everything has to have a major impact on the universe for it to be worth putting in the movie.
Right.
And
I agree.
And that was just a fun thing, and it made the whole job there more complicated. There were ramifications, of course, that happened to the characters themselves, but it's not like they're explaining away what happened, you know, in New Hope. They're like, oh, yeah, did you hear about what happened on Kessel? You know, it's
yeah.
like
yep.
we don't cared. Like, that happened, and it was very localized, and then things probably went right back to the way they were. But it was so much fun.
The one thing I would like to talk about a little bit, and, you know, it's always weird to say, I'm not going to rag on this movie, and
yeah.
I'm not, but I don't, and I, really, this isn't intended to, but
yeah.
The thing I think is interesting, so one of the things everybody was looking forward to the most was Lando Calrissian and the portrayal by
Donald Glover, yeah.
Yeah, Donald Glover, right. And I thought, so the character looked great. I thought he literally channeled Billy Dee Williams' voice various times. He was excellent, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to criticize him, the look, nothing. I did think, though, that their choice to have Lando be sort of a facade, that it was a, you know, a, he, and to get punked, basically, at every turn in the movie, I just thought was weird. I thought... Lando doesn't come off as competent. He comes off as a con man who sort of like has earned his reputation falsely and really isn't very capable on his own, you know?
Sure.
And I just thought that was weird, even over the ship. I mean, when we see his ship, He's the one with the ship, and yet he's got no negotiating power to get the deal that he wants. And then
right.
he talks about how beautiful his ship is, and of course his ship gets trashed. He loves his droid gets killed. Like, it's just mm-hmm. like everything. And then it's like it's not that he's competent, it's that he's like the butt of the joke. And I thought that was a weird choice for how much they played up that character and what we wanted out of him.
Sure.
And it's a thing you can do. You can do that to a character. Mm-hmm. But that's a totally different character then. You know, like, and not every character has to be what I'm saying. Not everybody has to be sophisticated and successful and intelligent, right? You can have these types of characters. I'm saying for Lando, I felt like it was a weird choice to make.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like when the Falcon was impounded.
Yep.
When they first got to it, that just seemed kind of strange. It's like, yes. that. Like, why? Why was it in yep. impound?
Well, because Lando's a fake, you know, because yeah. it's like he cheats at cards. He makes videos playing up how awesome he is when he really isn't.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a showman. And again, like, absolutely you can do that. That's a story you can absolutely right. tell. But it diminishes a character that you want. I mean, maybe we don't want to take Lando seriously. Maybe it's okay that that's who he is. I don't know. And I don't know what I thought Lando was, you know, or anything right. like that. I'm just saying that's a choice the movie made, and I don't know that I super enjoyed it. That's all.
So, sure, sure. Go. I gotcha. All right. Well,
most people are probably like, well, he was fun, so sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we're at about time here, so where do we want to finish this off? Because we want to talk a little more Star Wars here, because there's more Star Wars in the future.
Well, maybe.
There's at least one more.
Well, there's a lot of Star Wars. There's I guess I wasn't as up on this, but I mean, flat out, there's a live action TV show coming out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a thing. They're starting to film. You know, like that's been a thing rumor for a billion years. But Jon Favreau is making it. You know, it's set after Return of the Jedi by some number of years. It's going to take place on a series of planets that are not, you know, they're all going to be new. Mm-hmm. They're going to deal with new characters. But that's an interesting time because we would never have to see Leia Organa, but now you can just say, oh, Leia Organa is organizing a new Senate, you know,
right.
And so you can kind of world build through it without mm-hmm. ever needing to have Luke show up, you know,
right.
or things like that, right? So
right, which is one of the things I would love to have more of. We'll see how the TV series itself goes, because sometimes TV series notoriously miss the mark when they're trying to build on what the movies have done. You know, like Solo, it was a lot of fun. But did mm-hmm. we have to have a movie about Han Solo? Couldn't we have just had a movie? Like, and I know we had Rogue One, but that was also still tied in completely with the main Star Wars storyline. Like, this explains how the Death Star plans, etc. Like, I would love to see stuff that has nothing to do with the main characters or the main storyline in the Star Wars universe, because it's such a fun universe and it's such an epic universe. There's so many things you can do. So I hope the TV series does well. I do too,
and it'll be an interesting test of what you are now exactly saying, because mm-hmm. we've never really had anything except for Rogue One that didn't have the main character. But like you said, it's integrally tied in, and it does have Darth Vader. So
right, Vader and a few of the side, you know.
I thought about that with Solo, but I also thought no one goes to this movie. If it's like Star Wars, a rogue adventure, you know, like
yeah.
and there's no major, no one's going to.
Right.
Know? I mean, not no one, but just the core Star Wars base, and that's it. You know. So, we do want to talk about with Solo the box office controversy, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it boils down to more than. I mean, people want to pin it on the controversy over Last Jedi. There's probably some of that, but I don't think the fan base in and of itself is big enough to sway the box office so hard that it would either be successful or not. I mean, I think mm-hmm. part of it is, you touched on this a little bit, do we need a Han Solo movie? So I think that's some of it, right? I think there's yeah. just sort of a malaise to it. I think there's a sense of once you have a Star Wars movie every year, the one thing about Star Wars was always special, and it's kind of not special anymore. You know,
right.
and not that that's necessarily bad. You know, it could be good and not be special, right? But
right.
but that is something that's happening to it. And then the other thing is, from a very practical standpoint, it's like Avengers 2 comes out, Deadpool 2, or Avengers 4 comes out, 3, whatever, Infinity War, Deadpool 2 comes out. 2 weeks later, Solo comes out. I mean, that movie was up against it. It was the third blockbuster in a 5-week period, and it released on Memorial Day weekend, mm-hmm. and it was only 6 months after the last Star Wars movie. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of things that compiled against it to affect it, I think.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And I think you're also going to get some of that weird little backlash where you have people who are like, well, I enjoyed watching Star Wars, but I'm not a Star Wars fan.
Yeah,
so
but I don't need
I
to
don't...
keep going to Star Wars movies all the time.
Yeah.
I saw Last Jedi. That was my Star Wars movie for
right.
the year.
Or for the, I, yeah, yeah. I don't need to see this movie about the side characters, you
yep.
know. So, yeah, I mean... As
or
much
when,
as...
the, when the box office balloons like that, like we all as a culture, there are a few things that we go do together. You know, we like right now we watch Game of Thrones, right? Or mm-hmm. or we go to the Star Wars episode installment, and we will for Episode 9 again. You know, but
yeah.
we don't. But the average person whose nerddom boils down to an occasional rerun of Big Bang Theory, for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have time to just like look at you and I talking about like you haven't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp yet,
yeah.
or, you know, like time is a big issue, money is a big issue. We have families, mm-hmm. we have things to do, and so maybe Solo should have just come out at Christmas. You know, that might have actually really helped it to just give it more space from Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that could have had a positive impact on it for sure.
I know talking to some people about Rogue One versus Episode 7 and Episode 8, they sort of felt like they were supposed to go see Rogue One after they saw Episode 7, you know.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so like there, and maybe that had an effect. Maybe they went to Rogue One and they went, I don't get it because it wasn't
the tie
next
in
part,
with the,
you know?
Yeah.
And so now they're and now maybe the brand is confused mm-hmm. for the average consumer. Like you and I know episode whatever means a certain thing,
yeah.
and everything else means something else. But along this idea of the sophisticated versus the casual fan, it's just confusing, you know.
Right.
Confusing enough that they once they're confused by it, then they're just not going to. Buy it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, especially, you know, with like the Marvel movies and the way that those have built on each other and included each other and everything. It's not that you have to see every single one to understand what's happening in the newest one. But when you see Ant-Man and the Wasp after Avengers, you understand where the tie-in is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not directly connected in that. You know, the events are shaping each other, but you watch it and then you go, oh, okay, that's where it fits in the timeline. And with these, yeah, there's that potential disconnect for the people who are just, oh, Episode 8, then Solo, but he died 2 movies ago. Why are we watching his story
yep.
now? How does this play into the thing? And so, yep. yeah, that could... very definitely have an impact.
And I don't want to have to be a Star Wars universe expert just to go have some fun at the movies for 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not really criticizing Disney or the choices.
No,
just,
no.
Just
that's
more...
just an explanation, possible explanation for why.
People like to reduce the box office to the conflict between fans, and I just don't think that's what caused the box office problem
no.
for them. So
no.
Last thought, mm-hmm. Star Wars Episode 9. I mean,
yeah.
Star Wars news is, you know, supposedly they're putting a lot of their of these types of movies on hold.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that are already – like there are some already in development, like Obi-Wan might be far enough along or things like that. And so mm-hmm. I don't know that it means there aren't any being made. It means that they're rethinking
yeah.
What they're doing with them. And I'm sure the conversation we're having right now, they're having it at a much bigger level. You know? So,
yes.
My understanding, though, is that the one thing they're going to do is they're all in on trying to make Episode 9 – what everybody wants. And
yeah.
and I'm of two minds of this. On the one hand, I've read things like they're going to go for fan service. There's even a rumor that they're just changing Snoke to be Darth Plagueis literally to make fans happy after like
oh,
how
really?
Upset they were after Episode 8. I have no idea if this is true, but these
right,
are the rumors
but, yeah.
that are flying around, you know. But I thought, because to some degree, like as much as well, no, I don't want to go back to Episode 8. But, I mean, like, fans don't always know what they want. They think they know what they
yeah.
want, but they don't always know what they want. And handing us what we want on a silver platter actually might not actually make us happy anyway.
It usually you know, so. Goes the opposite direction.
yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah. No, and that's funny because, you know, I'm thinking about it. And you know, so they're bringing back J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, oh, that means they're going back to whatever. And it's like, you know how many people were upset with the Force Awakens? Like there were a lot of people who really enjoyed it and had a good time. And there were a lot of people who thought it was crap.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring in Rian Johnson to do The Last Jedi. And a lot of people thought it was crap. Do you think those two groups overlap a whole lot?
Mm-mm.
I mean, I'm sure there are some people who are just, this isn't my Star Wars, so it's not the good Star Wars. And that's, you're never going to please them whatsoever. But you, because The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, I mean, there's still a lot of very Star Wars-y things that cross, but they're two very different movies. I thought, you know, The Force Awakens was a kind of a return to form after the prequels went off the track. And
it's like the apology movie.
Yeah. It was like, okay, well, we're taking the things you liked from the original trilogy and we're kind of molding them into one new movie and we're going to go out from there. And then they went way out again with The Last Jedi, and it did have a different feeling and whatnot. And a lot of people responded very poorly to that. A lot of people responded very positively.
Yep.
And now they're talking about going back to, you know, bringing J.J. Abrams back, and it's going to be whatever. And it's like, you're still not going to please everybody. Can you just focus on making a good Star Wars movie, whatever that means?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like we've talked about with other things, nobody sets out to make a bad movie. I mean, that's not true. Some people have a certain aesthetic and stuff, but they want it to be good in a bad way. But when they set out to make The Last Jedi, nobody said, all right, let's make this just garbage so that we divide the fan base and then they'll accept whatever we do next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. I'm always, as always, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm going to try to go into it with as few expectations as possible because I've enjoyed both The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. I liked them for what they were, and I'm excited to see the next one, and I'm curious to see where they go from there.
And I'm a horrible person. Like, I watch and read every spoiler channel that I can.
Yeah.
And we don't know, but there was a guy on 4chan who leaked episode 7 or episode 8 plot deals pretty accurately. Like, there's stuff he was off on that they clearly would have just, you know, made evolutions on. But, I mean, he was pretty on the nose.
Yeah.
So he actually is, you know, again, has the same leak about episode 9, and I feel like I can feel the elements of truth in what he's posted and what mm-hmm. probably aren't, you know. And that's acting like I'm omniscient, but I mean, you can just kind of get a sense of what feels not true, you know. The other thing is, there are a lot of storyboard, there are a lot of design art that's out there, and people have seen it and are talking about it and things like that. And production starts in 2 weeks. So the thing about production is we know what sets they're on. We know where they're filming.
Mm-hmm.
So like things like we know they're filming at the location where they filmed Rogue One and New Hope, which means they're at the Yavin 4 temple almost 90%. You know,
sure.
Like things like that. And you can't hide that. That's not a spoiler.
Right.
That's just the reality. We live in a world where the internet exists. And so that kind of thing is going to come out, you know. So, and then a lot of the design art stuff, who knows? You know, like they could be working through 1,000 different ideas with that stuff. But, it's interesting. I mean, so there's just I guess my point is I don't want to talk about it very much, you know, because most people don't have my attitude and want to know everything
right.
there is to possibly know.
I tend to start getting into all the spoilers and stuff at some point. What I'm saying is I'm trying to go in not expecting greatness, but, expecting something decent. But, yeah, I'm probably going to start looking up stuff and speculate and do all that because there's a certain bit of fun.
One consistently fair thing that I've heard about Last Jedi, and mm-hmm. like it, hate it again, you know, like one of the things that's weird about the movie is – so episode 7 comes along, episode 8 effectively breaks down things about the characters that were set up in episode 7, right?
Yeah.
But it's left us in a weird place. Like, it doesn't feel like a trilogy.
Yeah.
In the same way that other things have. You know, it feels like, because it, at the end of Empire, I knew that we wanted to rescue Han. I knew that Luke mm-hmm. would have to confront Vader again. I don't know, and things like that. Like, I knew the stakes, right?
Yeah.
Here, I don't really know what I'm expecting to happen in the next movie after the way that all my expectations were broken down. And it's a thing you can do. I'm not commenting on it either way. I'm saying, you know, people are saying, like, it makes it not feel like a trilogy, you know?
Yeah. I can totally understand that. Cause there were things that were brought up that, either like you said, were completely broken down or mm-hmm. they were just kind of ignored.
Yeah, that's fine.
And which, yeah, is fine. But then you're right. It doesn't necessarily make it cohesive. It's like mm-hmm. 7 and 9 are going to fit together, but they squeezed 8 in the middle of it somewhere, you know. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do and how they manage to explain it. And maybe it'll feel cohesive after we've seen 9.
Yeah, I don't expect JJ to go out and, like, you know, I know the negative half of the fan base wants JJ to go out and just, you know, basically retcon 8. That's
right.
Not gonna happen. Like,
no,
8,
that
8
would...
is 8. 8 exists.
Yeah.
And as the next creator, I wouldn't even want, I mean, that's not even something I'd want to do, you know? So,
yeah.
It's going to build off of 8, but it's just sort of and it's like, you can do the time jump and you can mm-hmm. have a story, but it's where 5 years have passed and there's all, you know, so on and
yeah.
so forth. Right. But then that doesn't feel cohesive to a trilogy, which is, I think, you know, like what that comment is about. So,
well, but there was, how big of a time jumper in between.
It's like 3 years in between
yeah.
each movie or something like that. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
so
to some degree, you could say at the end of New Hope, it didn't feel like it was going to be a trilogy because the story was over.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Except
it
for
wasn't.
Darth Vader spinning away. It was
yeah.
Like, you know, and I get that too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be, I mean, the thing that's going to be interesting about that episode 9 is what's the box office? What mm-hmm. kind of movie do they end up making? And what, you know, I mean, they've got an opportunity to come back and bring it all together and make the fans who didn't like 8 go, oh, and make the fans who did like 8 go, oh, you know,
yeah.
And put it all together. And that could be cool if they can manage to do that. So,
yeah, here's hoping.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, we went long. That's
yep.
because you guys were stuck in the drive-through line at McDonald's. I know.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure you were behind a train. We wanted to make sure you had something to listen to. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Dane. How's it going?
Welcome for the very end of the podcast.
Dane is actually – no, and we're going to do a podcast about this next Tuesday, but Dane is actually going to be our chef for our charity picnic coming up.
Oh, wonderful.
And what's cool is he just started his own barbecue business, so you'll get a chance to meet him, eat some hot dogs he makes for you by being part of the charity picnic, and
wow.
mostly we want to help Dane build his business, so I want to give him a chance to – he's a nerd, and I want him to talk to all our nerds about what he's doing so we can get them all over there. So
does he serve porg?
I don't know.
Trying to tie it all in there.
It was good. Maybe he'll respond. So.
Yeah, Dane, if you have a chance to make a dish that's somehow has something to do with porgs, I think you'd have a hit on your hands with the crowd around here at least.
Yep. All right, everybody. Again, every Monday on iTunes, you will find us. We record these things live, then we pull mm-hmm. the audio and turn them into podcasts. So let us know, you know, if you listen to this too, like, we'd love to hear your theories. You know, what do you think about Star Wars Episode 9? Did you like Han Solo movie? What do you think about the upcoming Avengers stuff? Things like that. Like, post in the comments. Let's get a conversation going beyond just the podcast. And then, let your friends know that we do this, and there you go. So, and stay mm-hmm. tuned. We got a bunch of episodes coming next Tuesday.
Yes. So, next Tuesday night, starting at 6 p.m. Central, we'll be recording some more episodes. So stop in twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC or find us on the Paradox CNC Facebook page, ParadoxCNC.com, @ParadoxCNC on Twitter. Is it ParadoxCNC on Instagram as well?
It is.
We're on there also. So check all of that out. Come down to the store.
I'm very proud of the Instagram channel. That's
yes.
like my pet project. Like every night I'm checking it, and then I'll tell Jen and V, like, oh, we're up to 234 followers. And they're just like, oh, shut up.
So. Oh, Ian suggests pulled pork.
I think pulled pork.
Pulled
yeah,
pork.
Exactly.
A pulled pork sandwich.
Exactly. So.
Perfect.
Thanks, Ian.
We should have an entire podcast dedicated to coming up with porg recipes, I think. That would be a hit.
Yeah, well, if you join us too, join us next Tuesday. We'll be recapping the San Diego Comic-Con. We'll be talking about the charity picnic coming up, perhaps our Extra Life kickoff event, mm-hmm. and a lot of other stuff. It will probably be a fairly guestless night, whereas that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to have guests, but again, San Diego Comic-Con is happening, and anyone that you can get is not going to be on our podcast on Tuesday after San Diego.
So. And it's summer, so that's difficult. I know I've got a game designer who's on vacation next week, of course, so we'll be getting him in on August 9th. on the Thursday before we do our board game.
Yeah, and we're going to be getting Rob Guillory from the Chew comic, who's doing the new Farmhand comic. He's lined up, but it's same thing. Like, you know, he's not available around this week. So so the August podcast will be back to having a lot of guests. And if you ever have ideas for guests or people you want to see or mm-hmm. that you think would be cool for us to talk to, please hit us up and let us know. We'd love to hear about that. So
absolutely.
All right, everybody. Thank you.
We'll see you on the next DocsCast.
This was a DocsCast. Hope you think it rocks, cast. Oh, look at the clocks, cast. Until next time, geek on.